Hello, I'm Bruce Edwards, and welcome to this podcast produced by the International Monetary Fund. In this program, robots, growth, and inequality.
So what happens in an economy in which suddenly you introduce this new kind of capital that is productive enough to compete with humans? And what we find is that indeed, in that economy, robots take over. There's good news and there's bad news.
The September 2016 edition of Finance and Development magazine focuses on how technology is driving growth. And today we look at how the power of artificial intelligence is transforming the economy.
I'm Andy Berg. I'm the Deputy Director of the Institute for Capacity Development. And I'm a co-author of this piece on robots, growth, and inequality.
And who are your fellow authors?
My colleagues are Felipe Zana, who's a colleague of mine in the IMF. He's been in the research department for many years. And Ed Buffy is professor of economics at the University of Indiana.
So are robots going to take over the world economy?
Bruce, I don't know. But I do think we should be worried. You know, we hear a lot these days about great breakthroughs in information technology and deep learning that are going to transform society and make things better for people. But my colleagues and I were thinking about the implications of these technologies for growth and inequality. You can boil down what economists have said about this into two sorts of stories. One is that technology drives growth, that we get richer because we get more productive, and technology is a big part of that. You know, American workers now, the average worker only has to work a third of a year, 17 weeks now, to generate the same standard of living that a worker in 1915 would have had to work a year to get.
Because of the technology.
And we think technology is the reason for that. You know, trains, electricity, telephones, internal combustion engines, cars, all that kind of thing has allowed us to produce more with the same amount of effort. And that's mainly why we're richer.
But do fewer people have jobs because of technology?
People have worried about that, of course, for hundreds of years, going back to the 19th century and the Luddites and this fear that technology was going to replace people. And if you look at the history, it seems like the technological optimists have evidence on their side. That's to say, I discovered in writing this piece that in the 50s and early 60s, there was a great deal of concern in the United States about the implications of then very new technologies in the form of computers and automation and how they would eliminate jobs, and lots of jobs, and it would be a disaster for employment. And in the subsequent 20 or 30 years, things did not work out that way. Employment went up, jobs went up, wages went up, incomes and consumption went up.
But did employment go up across the board?
Not across the board. You know, tractors, this is a little bit before that period, but with the introduction of the tractor and other technologies like that, there were a lot fewer farmers. But those farmers found jobs in the cities. So overall, employment went up. Yeah, absolutely. And through at least 1980. So in the past, what some people call Luddites, these technological pessimists, have basically been wrong. What I and my colleagues are thinking about now, along with, of course, many other people out there, is whether this time it's going to be different.
But it looks like if you go back and look at the progression and what has happened to the labor force, it would seem that labor is less important in the economy.
Well, what's interesting is that until recent decades, at least, that was not really the case. If you open up an economic textbook, one of the basic facts people like to talk about is that labor's share in the economy has been pretty constant in most rich countries for most of economic history where we have data. And what we mean by labor's share is just there's a certain amount of total activity that we call GDP. That's the value of all the goods and services produced. And then you can ask, what's the fraction of labor income in the total income? There's basically profits, things, other returns to capital, and there's labor. And labor's share has been pretty constant until maybe the last 20 or 30 years. So in a world in which labor overall maintains a constant share, it's really all about which are the good jobs and which are the bad jobs and how to get people from the bad jobs to the good jobs. Now we start to see that that might not be true, that the labor share might really not be a constant of modern capitalism. but might be shrinking. And then we start to think differently, I think, about whether it's enough to switch people into good jobs. And in fact, if you look at the data, since the late 70s or early 80s, it does seem like labor share has been shrinking in many countries around the world. So the question is, for us, is are robots different? And by robots, we mean machines with something that we might call artificial intelligence and the ability to do a lot of stuff that humans have traditionally been much better at than machines. And so what we wanted to think about is whether these robots are so similar to humans in what they can do that they will have this negative replacement effect that's different than other sorts of technologies that came before. I mean, what some of the technological optimists have emphasized is that there are a bunch of stuff that computers are really terrible at and humans are surprisingly good at. Things like recognizing stuff, understanding speech, folding towels, stacking boxes. You know, any human can do that. And the smartest supercomputers have a very hard time. And there's a kind of a paradox there. What seems to be happening now is that some of these new technologies are changing that, so that computers actually are becoming good at some of those basic skills. And so once robots can do kind of what everyone can do, how will that work out? What will happen to the economy?
Right. So if in terms of the economy, the value of a person, that human capital, is essentially measured in productivity, and robots will become very productive. They're already more productive in some ways than humans at some tasks. Will at some point human labor become a thing of the past?
Well, this is really complicated, and there are a lot of dimensions to what you're asking. Economists typically think of capital and labor, where labor is all of us working. And capital is all sorts of machines, roads, buildings, all that kind of stuff. What we've said, let's introduce a new kind of capital that has this special feature that it works the same way as labor in producing stuff. You can either use a human or you can use a robot. They don't complement each other. That's to say, you know, you think of a driver in a car. One makes the other more productive. What we for robots, no. If you have the robot driver, you don't need the human driver. And so we imagine that as a sort of general force in the economy. But so one difference is robots don't consume. And the other is they're reproduced by saving and investing. So they get owned by people. And they are produced through saving, just like other forms of capital. So what happens in an economy in which suddenly you introduce this new kind of capital that is productive enough to compete with humans? And what we find is that indeed, in that economy, robots take over. There's good news and there's bad news. The good news is robots are a form of productive capital, and they will lead to growing output per person.
So productivity rises.
Productivity rises. Sure, how can it not? And that's what most of the discussion about these new technologies is about. You can do more stuff with the same number of workers. So output per person goes up, but the wage falls. As we try and pile more and more people into a smaller piece of the economy that can't be done by robots, those workers are competing with each other. And so that's going to force their wages, keep their wages from rising, that competition. So how can that be that output goes up and the wage falls? The answer is that it's the owners of capital who are going to end up doing most of the consumption and eventually all of the consumption. Because what happens is the economy does grow. People build more robots. People build more roads and buildings and warehouses. Capital grows. The economy grows. And it keeps going. Because robots can build robots, and robots can build buildings. Robots and buildings together build more robots and build more buildings. And the economy grows. And the income of all these owners of capital will go up.
But it seems to me, with the concern that inequality is rising, wouldn't this be the last thing that we need?
It seems to me it's a scary picture, for sure. Inequality is going up because the people who own capital are getting more and more of the income. You know, Piketty, in his famous book, really emphasized something that hadn't been emphasized so much by a lot of us, which was the importance of thinking about the capital share as a way of thinking about inequality. And we think a lot about wage inequality, skilled versus unskilled, but we have thought less about this. But he points out that in the big picture, in the big sweep of history, the share of income going to capital does matter a lot for inequality. And we know that in general, capital, wealth, is much more unevenly distributed than income everywhere, in all, you know, pretty much all times in all countries. So it seems to me reasonable to fear that if capital, owners of capital, get more and more of the income of an economy, it's going to tend to be more and more unequal. And that does seem a society that is, you know, very problematic. Sure.
So the upside may well be that if there's all this increased income from capital, there should be more tax dollars to spend on the less fortunate. How likely do you think that would happen?
Well, this is a very speculative discussion.
Yeah.
And I'm certainly not going to attach a probability, but it's challenging. It's challenging. How do you actually tax owners of capital? As you said in your question, owners of capital are getting the income, but getting it to people, taxing it is hard. We should say also that a lot of this discussion is speculative also on the technology side. Productivity growth has not been rapid in recent 10 or 20 years. It's not that right now there's tons of extra income that can readily be taxed. It's true that there's a lot of income at the top, but overall, a world of rapid robot-driven productivity growth is not exactly what we see. So it's really more about these things that are just coming online and what might evolve in the future, or it's as much about that as it is about what might have been happening in the last, say, 20 years or so.
That was Andy Berg, Deputy Director of the Institute for Capacity Development and co-author of the article entitled Robots, Growth and Inequality, published in the September 2016 edition of Finance and Development magazine. The magazine is available online at imf.org/FND, or you can download the Finance and Development app to read it on your mobile device. And you can hear more IMF podcasts like this one on iTunes or SoundCloud or on your favorite podcast app. Just search for IMF Podcasts.